Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Today is Memorial Day. It's one of about a dozen federally recognized holidays, and it's considered the unofficial start of summer, marked by travel, barbecues, and weekend sales. But how many of us know the true meaning of the day? Joining us to discuss is U.S. Army veteran Justin Miller. He's also a board member of Chicago Veterans and vice chair of operations for Roll Call Chicagoland. Also with us is Modi Lavin, senior outreach coordinator of the Road Home Program at Rush University Medical Center. Justin, what does Memorial Day mean to you?
Yeah, that's a tough question. The older I get, the more understanding I have behind the original intent of the holiday, you know. Of course, after you serve your country, you start feeling the impact of that service on your own body, on your community. And then, you know, of course, many of my fellow brothers and sisters that are veterans, you know, they have lost loved ones, you know, to service. And this is that weekend where you're supposed to reflect, right? This is the weekend now that I reflect on the folks that I've lost in my life that were service members like my Uncle Jim. And so I make sure I go over and see my aunt, you know, every Memorial Day weekend. And we do grilling, we do barbecue, and we have a good time in the weekends. But the intent to meet up and reflect on those that have given the ultimate sacrifice, or at least those that have lost their lives and were service members.
You make time for the actual remembrance.
100%.
Yeah. What about you, Modi?
Well, I belong to a club that most don't want to be. Mm-hmm. I'm a Gold Star mother. I lost my son, Connor Lowry, Corporal Connor T. Lowry, United States Marine Corps. Thanks, Sasha. On March 1st of 2012. And honestly, prior to that, Memorial Day might have looked like the barbecue and the weekend fun and the kickoff of summer. Mm-hmm. And I needed that, you know, kind of kick in the pants to realize what Memorial Day has always been about.
Yeah.
And it's a day to honor and remember. It's always fun to see everybody kind of enjoying that summer kickoff day. But it is a time to maybe take a little quiet time and remember somebody you might have known, a distant relative, a friend who gave their life for our freedom. And if you don't know anybody, it's okay to stop by a cemetery, drop a penny. The coins mean a lot on these grave sites. That means you stop by and gave honor and thanks to them. Or, you know, go to a parade or visit a memorial statue.
Yeah. You know, remind us about the origins of Memorial Day. Like, how is it different from Veterans Day, which mm-hmm. we celebrate later in November?
Oh, good question, Sasha. And I get asked that a lot. It's real simple. Memorial Day is to recognize those who have given their life, the ultimate supreme sacrifice, who died for our freedom. And Veterans Day is for to recognize our service members and ones that have served that and well-deserved to recognize and thank them for their service to our country.
Yeah. And Justin, as we talk about even, you know, the difference between the two, do you think that folks over the years have lost sight of the meaning of these days?
I think people wax and wane, you know, on the meanings. You meet people in different stages of their lives that are focused on that reflection period. I certainly had a recent loss a couple years back. I lost my father very recently. And so, you know, you get into those times in your lives where reflection is really important and it's really meaningful. And so Memorial Day kind of means a little bit more, you know. I certainly now, as a veteran, 10 years removed from 2 deployments and 7.5 years of active duty, I take Veterans Day off and do as much stuff as I can.
Yes.
To take advantage of that as a veteran, of course. But you know, Memorial Day is that special holiday where you should at least make some time, like Modi said, to reflect a little bit.
And when we talk about remembering and honoring our fallen heroes on Memorial Day, I know that you both feel that it's important to include those that we lost at home, too, right?
Absolutely.
Like here on U.S. soil.
Absolutely. We lose our active duty service members in training accidents through sickness. and specifically one that's hard to talk about, Sasha, but I have to talk about, and that's our veteran suicide.
Yeah.
And we must remember that this is still based on their service. You know, going to war or just being in the military is very stressful. And there is an epidemic of still, I think it's still about 22 a day, Justin.
Yeah. So our organization last Friday, Chicago Veterans, we just organized our annual Ruck March. We're doing 17 miles this year. I think that was the latest statistic that came out, but I think it's back up to 22 service members or veterans.
It is. Yeah.
Lose their lives to suicide every day on average, which is just a terrible statistic that we all need to do something about, not just the veteran community, not just the military community, but everybody here, right? Because veterans are part of our community, and it's really important that we make that time to make sure that they have the resources they need.
You're listening to Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and we are talking about the significance of Memorial Day and ways that we can honor those who've sacrificed their lives to serve this country. With us to discuss are Modi Lavin, who's a senior outreach coordinator for the Road Home program, and Justin Miller with Chicago Veterans and Roll Call Chicagoland. So you, Modi, you're active in the Illinois Gold Star family community. So tell us more about them. I hear they're tight-knit.
Oh, very tight-knit. As I kind of mentioned before, it's a club you don't want to belong to. But once you do join, it's a very healthy environment to be around. Gold Star families are the hero families, the fabric of the United States. And so there is an organization that was founded in late 1930s called the American Gold Star Mothers. It's a national organization, but our chapters are per state. So there's the Illinois Gold Star Mothers, and
okay.
I'm vice president of that chapter.
Oh, cool.
And we are very involved with our families,
mm-hmm.
And to honor and remember those who have gone, and even recent, there are still, Gold Star families being made every day. Unfortunately, and it's also the mission of the Gold Star Mothers is to serve veterans. So we spend a lot of time volunteering and making sure we're serving veterans through our work.
Yeah, tell us more about the support that's you found has really helped you and your family just heal, grieve.
Yes, community. Okay, I come from a remarkable community.
So just people being there, showing up for
yes.
you?
Oh, yes. I'm from the south side of Chicago, from a neighborhood, Beverly.
Yeah.
I don't think I could really have healed or moved on as much as I have without community support. Also, the Gold Star families rallied around me. And also through my work at the Road Home program at Rush University. It is a mental health clinic serving veterans and their families and active duty. And it's a remarkable program. And through the work of me being able to serve that population, it's very healing for me.
Yeah,
I always say, in serving others, you're serving yourself.
And Justin, you served nearly a decade in the U.S. Army. You were deployed twice to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Your military experience, what was that like?
It was very interesting. So I went in as a musician, actually.
Okay.
Played trumpet my whole school career. My mom refused to let me quit that thing. Thank God for her.
So you started from the days when they made you do it.
Absolutely. And I went into high school. I was the only freshman jazz band player. And that just led to this love of music. And I went to go see my older half-brother graduate down in Fort Benning. I want to say when I was a junior in high school. And I saw the band come out and play for the ceremony. And then the tanks came out. And it was an infantry graduation that he was graduating from basic training. And I just fell in love with the whole scene. And I said, I want to do something more. And then shortly after 9/11 happened, and that just codified my desire to serve. So I did go into the Army as a bugler, as a trumpet player.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 7.5 years active duty, 2 tours to Iraq, a lot of playing taps and memorializing my fallen comrades, which led to me with some challenges in transitioning out of the service.
Right.
But it was a very honorable job.
Yeah.
And in fact, Modi and I go way back. I used to work at the Road Home program as well.
Oh, okay.
And I was there for 2 years doing what Modi's doing on the veteran side. And now I receive services there, and I wear that on my sleeve. And I want that. I want all the veterans out there and military connected personnel to know that it's okay to go get help.
Yeah.
And thrive in some of those services.
And to that point, I'm glad you brought that up, Justin, because I mean, you both work for organizations that support veterans and military families. Talk, Justin, about what you see as the biggest needs for these groups.
Yeah. In fact, so my 9-to-5 right now is with an organization called Dog Tag Inc. And I do Chicago Veterans and Roll Call Chicagoland on the side in my volunteer time because I just love serving veterans. And even in my day job, I serve veterans through, you know, aspiring entrepreneurship and education. The biggest challenges, at least that I had and many of, my sibling veterans out there, my brothers and sisters transitioning out, is that transition period. Mm. Learning how to be a civilian all over again when you've spent, at least for me, it was almost a decade of, you know, just being institutionalized in the military, having that camaraderie that we just don't have in today's society, right? We're very separated. We're all on our phones all the time, and we're all kind
that
of lost.
True.
And some of us don't even know our own neighbors to the left and right of us in our communities. And the veteran community is very tight-knit, right? And because we share some bonds that are almost unbroken. And so we have to rely on that. And when we don't have that soft landing to come back home to when we leave the service, it can be a very rough transition period.
I mean, and you're not just a veteran, you're a father of three.
I'm a father
of
three. How
did that factor in for you?
Oh, not something that was planned, but I am so grateful for my three amazing, beautiful kids. I struggled early in being a father and just trying to be present for my family. I mean, I was always around, but mentally not present. And I left corporate America and I got a job with Modi at Road Home and worked there for 2 years and just really kind of fell in love with serving veterans and being compassionate about their needs, especially in mental health, you know, especially in homelessness and, you know, unemployment, underemployment and education struggles. And that's kind of what led me into, I worked at the USO for 2 years in a transition, military transition program, and then eventually here at Dog Tag, and then doing roll call in Chicago Veterans for the last 7 to 10 years, I mean, as a volunteer. It's just been...
You've got a busy calendar.
Yeah, but it's purposeful for me, right?
Yeah.
So it gives me a lot of purpose in life. I'm able to transition that into being a father and showing my kids what integrity actually looks like. And I'm proud of that, you know, and it's been a long struggle, but here I am.
Here you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything to add, Modi, when we think about, you know, the biggest needs of veterans, like what do they need right now? Military families.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about the Road Home program is we serve the families as well. We see family members before the veteran,
which is very important.
Very important. And I agree with Justin, that transition, and that's where we identify mental health could be causing problems in moving forward with getting a job, fitting back into your community. What role do I play in family after I've been gone for so long? Transition is tough. And also, we serve survivors at the Road Home program. So we have a lot of families struggling, as I did, after the loss of someone either in combat, either stateside, or through suicide. So I always like to make that very clear. But, you know, I also want to say, you know, it takes a village to serve our veteran populations, especially in Chicagoland, and we need people like Justin Miller. He's, you know, one of those that's kind of that rock star veteran that hasn't given up and you can always depend on. And, you know, I always try to be that kind of pillar in the Chicagoland area as well.
You know, you bring up something interesting. You say, you know, Justin is an example of a veteran who hasn't given up.
Mm-hmm.
Why do so many fall on the opposite side of the spectrum after leaving service?
I could probably answer that because I wasn't the esteemed veteran I am now, at least 6 years ago when Modi and I first met. It took some time, right? You get out of the service. And for me, combat was easy. Going to Iraq twice, especially the second time, you know, you just get into routines. You lock yourself into these routines. You also spend every single day with your brothers and sisters in arms, right? So every day I'm going and having three meals with my battle buddy and going to work and hitting the gym and, you know, running 6 miles in the morning. And you just get into these routines. So when you separate from the service and all your best friends are still at your unit, and I'm coming back home to Chicago. I was born and raised here, came back here, western suburbs, but I didn't know anybody when I got home. Not in that sense, right? And I didn't know my veterans next door. So the first 3-4 years, I really struggled. Mm-hmm. Just trying to find myself, my purpose, because you have that. It's written on your chest in the military, right? Mm-hmm. U.S. Army, I have a purpose. I have a uniform, and I'm doing my job. And now I don't wear the uniform anymore, you know, and I don't know what to do, and I want to serve, but I don't know who to serve.
How were you received by others at that time when you first got out?
You know, everybody calls you a hero, and you come back to parades.
Did you feel like one?
I don't think so, no. Now that I reflect on it, I don't think I've ever really been asked that question, and interestingly enough, but I mean, you do in a sense, like, hey, I served my country. This is the right thing to do, coming home and having like the motorcycles parade around. My uncle Jim, who passed away 6 years ago, is a very avid motorcyclist, you know, for the POW MIA rides and things like that. So he arranged the bike rides for me for my welcome home ceremonies. Mm-hmm. And it's just you get these really great feelings, but then you find yourselves very alone most nights after that, immediately after coming home, because you're in a different environment, even though it's safe and your stateside. Yeah. It's just something about it. It's just, you know.
So it sounds like therapy and
yeah,
you know, other resources.
Therapy is 100% the thing that helped me out the most. I wear that on my sleeve, like I said. I go to the road home now every other Friday. Very proud of that fact, and work through some of the challenges that I face daily that have stemmed from my military career and some of the struggles that I've had. But you know, I think a lot of veterans out there, the majority of us, can be, you know, those rock star veterans that you talk about, yeah. Buddy, right? But we just need some services. We need some resources in order to pave that path. A lot of us, we just don't have a lot of direction, and we need some of that when we come home. Just a little assist from our friends next door to us. And they don't have to be veterans. They can be, like I said, neighbors in our communities that just want to help us out and try to help us understand what our purpose is now that we're out of the service.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of courage to ask for help, especially coming out of the military.
That's the hardest part, I think.
It is. Yeah. It is. So I think that's why there's so many that fall through the cracks, Sasha, as you were saying. Why aren't they all like Justin? Justin was obviously, pardon me, put on a path where he was led to get the help that he deserved and the resources. But not all know where that path is. Yeah. And that's what we're here to talk about, doing a radio show or the work I do at the Road Home out in the community. Not only do I connect veterans and family members and survivors to the Road Home program, but I want to be that pillar in the community that also has resources for recreational, no-cost activities for veterans, employment resources, all sorts of things. So maybe they don't need mental health, but they might need something else.
I was very lucky in that sense where I found Road Home. I was a student veteran. I went through my undergraduate, went right into corporate America. That was following the bouncy ball, right? That's what everybody said to go do and you'll be successful. And I got there and, you know, I just hated working a 9-to-5 for a big giant retail company that didn't really care about me. And I was just serendipitous that I met the executive director at Road Home, Will, through another colleague of mine, through this veteran community
connections.
That we were just starting, and then met Modi and Sherry. I knew Sherry. She's one of the outreach coordinators there as well. She used to be. We were all there together. And she was in student veterans, and I'd met her once. And I was like, okay, well, let me just try this job out. And 2 years later, I just fell in love with it, started getting my own therapy from the VA while I was helping people come to Road Home at the same time.
Oh, I love that.
So I got really lucky, which is why, you know, Roll Call Chicagoland has become so important to me in my volunteer time, because it is this monthly professional networking event. But more than that, it's a community that we, you know, convene once a month to connect these veterans to folks that have jobs and resources and just want to be advocates for them and help them with their resumes and, you know, mock interviews and all those things that we never knew. I went in the Army at 18. I never had a resume. I worked at Ace Hardware and I worked for my dad, you know, mixing mortar on the job, on the job. But so getting out of the service, I'm 26 years old. I've never written a resume before. I've never had an interview before. I don't have some of these skill sets that a lot of people, you know,
right,
at my age
in
their careers have already.
Yes.
Not to say that I don't have an amazing skill set, because the military does ingrain a lot of these soft skills, you know, that you can develop out, you know, after the military. So so that's what Roll Call existed for. And we just merged with Chicago Veterans in January because
that's
we're
great.
Serving the same community. And Chicago Veterans has that peer support network. That just is amazing. It's that community that really exists,
yeah.
And then we just layer on top of that with employment services.
So do me a favor, leave us with this then, Justin, because you've given some examples throughout. But for the folks listening to us now, mm-hmm. you know, how can people honor our fallen, our active service members, and our veterans today and beyond Memorial Day?
Yeah, I'll say this first. Sometimes thank you is just not enough. A lot of people get in the habit of saying thank you for your service. You walk through the airport or something like that. Veterans appreciate it, but I'm not sure if people understand what they're really thanking us for when they say that. I think it's more of just, you know, just the right thing to say, a right thing to do. So if people want to get involved, if people want to help, they're gonna find a way to support Road Home. They're gonna find a way to support, you know, Chicago Veterans and some of the veteran programs. And that doesn't mean, you know, that you have to be a donor. It means that you can come out and volunteer. It means you can find the veterans that are in your community and make sure they know about these programs that are going to help them, you know, just become aspiring entrepreneurs and leaders in our community and small business owners and everything else that veterans can do very well if they just have a little bit of an opportunity. And that's all we really need is a little bit of opportunity, and we'll run with it. So if you can find a veteran in your community, you can bring them to services, great. If you are in a capacity to donate and sponsor and help us out in these amazing resource organizations that we have, then do that too. But yeah, get out there and take action,
right.
And not just say thank you. And that would mean a lot to us veterans.
Well said.
We've been speaking with U.S. Army veteran Justin Miller and Modi Lavin, Gold Star mother to Corporal Connor T. Lowry, who died during combat operations in Afghanistan in 2012. She also was this year's recipient of the Major General John A. Logan Patriot Award. And if you are a veteran in crisis or are concerned about one, you can connect with a qualified Veterans Crisis Line responder for confidential help by calling 988 and then pressing 1. The service is private, it's free, and it's available 24/7. Justin and Modi, thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Sasha.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
This episode of Reset was produced by Stephanie Kim, and it was edited by Andrew Merriweather and Dan Tucker. That's a wrap for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, wishing you a happy Memorial Day. Talk to you tomorrow.
Ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.